1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Tropical storm Idalia is expected to become a major hurricane before hitting Florida Wednesday. WFOR-TV's Larry Seward.
On Florida's west coast, residents bracing for Idalia are gassing up and loading their cars with sandbags and other essentials.
We're prepping and hoping for the best.
I pulled everything out from my hurricane kit with my lights, all my extra batteries, stuff for my kid. I got some non-perishable food items, lots of water.
Definitely going to put the panels up, cover up all the windows, probably have a bunch of people over because I have the generator.
Larry Seward, CBS News, Holiday, Florida.
Two people have died in a rescue helicopter crash near Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It slammed into a small apartment building. WFOR-TV's Joan Murray.
When that chopper went into the building, there was an explosion. One woman was trapped. She died. The chopper pilot was killed. Two other people within the chopper did manage to escape. They were taken to the hospital. Two other people who were in that apartment building in another unit managed to escape as well.
A weekend shooting in Jacksonville, Florida is being investigated as a hate crime. Three black people were killed by a white gunman at a Dollar General store. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez.
The three victims are 52-year-old Angela Carr, 19-year-old A.J. Laguerre, and 29-year-old Gerald Gallion, who had a 4-year-old daughter.
It's not fair.
LaTiffany Gallion is the victim's sister.
He was a loving guy.
A loving guy.
He was a devoted father. He'd do anything for his daughter.
A faculty member is shot and killed in a University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill lab building. A suspect is in custody. A University of South Carolina student was shot and killed when he apparently tried to get into the wrong house near the campus in Columbia. Sophomore Nicholas D'Onofrio was from Madison, Connecticut. Justin Doucette lives there.
This is a real small community. It's very sad. Very, very sad. It's like you can feel it in the air. It's like somber almost, you know. It's a very tight community.
A new study out of Brazil finds that laughter can improve heart health. CBS's Stacey Lynn reports they had people who had previously been diagnosed with coronary artery disease watch funny or serious shows.
They found those who watched the comedies had a 10% advancement in the amount of oxygen the heart could pump into the body, as well as an improvement in their arteries' ability to expand. It's believed that laughter has this effect because it releases endorphins, which are needed to maintain healthy blood pressure.
How do Americans feel about Biden versus Trump round two? An Associated Press NORC poll found those surveyed say President Biden is old and confused, and they say that former President Trump is corrupt and dishonest. Stocks closed up on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Back to school means back to early bedtimes.
But I'm not tired.
Fortunately, there's Pure Z's Kids, mindfully formulated to help your child fall asleep naturally when needed. Pure Z's Kids products are non-habit forming, drug-free, and available in liquid, chewable tablets and gummies. Give them the rest to be their best.
Bye, Mom!
Pure Z's Kids, for ages 4 and up. Explore all Pure Z's Kids products at ZQL.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You can do it all by yourself.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 60, winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 77, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Clear skies tomorrow night, lows around 45. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 69.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Is that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bride.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bride does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
All right. Kind of a different topic than normal for this morning, but how much did your car cost you? And I don't even know. I mean, the truth is, I'm thinking back on my car right now, and I know what my monthly payments are, but I actually, looking back at it,
don't remember.
Off the top of my head, don't remember. Because it was like, all right, well, what am I going to know? If I'm leasing, how much am I going to owe for how many months? Because you're not paying the full cost of the car.
Right.
But I'm curious as to what your current car cost you, because as of right now, there is only a single model that costs less than $20,000.
That's unreal.
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
There's only one new car left under $20,000. It's a Mitsubishi Mirage.
Does it have wheels?
It does have wheels.
Okay, good.
But I'm curious, just for context of how much more expensive things are, just in general, what did you pay for your car? 844-967-2789. And I guess also then, does this make you want to hold on to that car for as long as possible?
Drive it until the doors fall off.
Because so a Mitsubishi Mirage was the cheapest new car on the U.S. market last month. You know, and I think it's, you know, if public transit's not your thing, and most of our places, like, it's not an option.
Right.
Like, we don't have, unless you live, like, the East Coast is pretty good, but most of the state, most of the country, to be able to get around the way you need to get around either takes a lot of time, if you're going to take public transit.
For sure.
Or is actually just not possible. And so for the most part, we've built a lot of our state, cities, country in as a way that you need to have a car one way or another. So, but as of, so Cox Automotive found that Mitsubishi Mirage was the only new model going for less than $20,000 last month. And its average selling price is $19,205. But the middle of the road new car cost, as of July 2023, middle of the road. What do you think it was, Jane?
Oh, I'm afraid. 32.
Higher.
36.
48.
is the middle of the road?
It's the middle of the road. It up 30% since 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. And used cars are no better. The average July price for a used car was $27,000, which is also a hike from a 30% hike from 2019. And, you know, this is a strain on the family budget. Like, you think about, I was looking this up this morning as far as what the suggested budget breakdown is for your, you know, your monthly take home pay is this, and 30% should go to housing, and 10 to 15% should go to transit. And transit is not only your car payment, it's also gas.
And what about maintenance?
And maintenance, yeah. And if you get in an accident. But it takes over 42 weeks of median household income to cover the average car cost, the average cost of a new car. And on the top high of high prices, high interest loans are also now a burden. Because a record 17.1% of new car owners had a monthly payment above $1,000 a month.
I can't even imagine.
How much you're supposed to be spending. Like, I was doing the math this morning, and if the median income in Wisconsin is around $67,000, at least according to this source, sometimes I see different ones, but it's always somewhere between like $50,000 and $70,000. So that means your take-home pay is a little more than $4,000 a month, which means that's what you should be spending on, like, your rent or mortgage is $1,000 a
right.
month, not a car.
Right.
So I'm just curious, how much did you spend on your car? Not a good thing or a bad thing, but just as you're putting this in context of how much did you spend on your car now? And even more, how much did you spend on your first car, if you remember that? 844-967-2789.
Tom from West Dallas. Good morning, Tom. What did you shell out for your wheels?
Well, actually, I've never bought new. I never saw the point in it. So basically, my last vehicle, I traded in two pickup trucks for one pickup truck plus $5,000. That pickup truck I'm still driving, it's an old one. I had a problem with it. I took it into the dealer to fix, which I knew was a dumb thing, but I did it anyways. And I, for giggles, went in to talk to a salesman. I spec'd out my 2001 Dodge Ram with a diesel engine for a brand new one. Now, granted, this is 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
My truck, brand new, 4 or 5 years ago, with all the bells and whistles that mine had, $63,000.
For all the bells and whistles.
And for everyone that my truck that I am currently driving has.
Oh, but just new.
But brand new.
Okay.
Also, I have been looking for another truck, but I want, what I want is a diesel because I like my diesel. I pull a big trailer. I found a 98 Dodge Ram pickup truck just like mine, but a few years older, used for
$15,000. Wow.
Granted, it looked like new, but it's used. It's a 22, or that was a 24-year-old truck.
Oh, for a 24-year-old truck, yeah.
For a used truck, and I've seen them go anywhere between like $8,000 to $15,000 for a 20-some-year-old truck.
Yeah. Wow.
That, to me, is insane also.
Well, it's also, like, can anyone, because you, Jane, you said you spent how much on your first car?
My first car was $8,000.
Which, again, we'll adjust for inflation. I'll get the inflation calculator up. But, like, do you think you could even find a car for less than $10,000 right now?
Not if you want wheels.
Yeah.
For used, you can, but it's you got to look and see what you're buying.
Yes.
You know,
likelihood of lemon high.
Well, yeah, you're gonna right, end up right. You're gonna end up throwing so much money into maintenance or getting it up to speed. Is that worth it then?
Right, right. Now I also bought an 01 VW Beetle. I'll never buy a VW again. I loved my Beetle, but just the things you had to do. You had to have special tools for it. I thought that was ridiculous. That I bought knowing that the transmission was not good on it. And
wait, what's wrong with the VW? Because I'm thinking about buying the VW Tiguan I drive now and buying my lease out. Should I not do that?
Well, I no.
Oh. No,
Tom says no.
There's even a guy on YouTube, Scotty Kilmer, who he just slams VWs, talking about like windshield wipers. There's a computer that runs the windshield wipers. There's no need for that. And if your windshield wipers go bad, well, now you're spending a few thousand bucks just because the computer went bad. But mine, granted, that was an 01. I needed special. I like to work on my vehicles, and I needed special tools to work on it for no reason.
All right.
I could just tell you too that it had a. The injection pump had plates on it, and one of those plates was leaking. Well, it had three normal bolts, and it had one special bolt that I had to buy a tool specifically for that. I'm like, why couldn't you just put four normal bolts? VWs used to be the people's car. They were simple to work on. Now, no. No,
well, I don't think I'm trying to work on my car anytime soon, but I will take that into consideration for what I do with my purchase. But thanks so much for the call, Tom.
Thanks a lot, Tom. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Scott from Chicago. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Yeah, my first car was, I believe, about 4,000, needed about 1,000 repairs. Did not last very long. Second car, about 4,500, needed about 2,000 repairs, but that was also hybrid. And then my current car I actually bought from a friend for about 5,000, which was about 3,000 under market value. And, I mean, it's going great.
All right.
But also my friend repaired his own car and really kept it up and all that. So, yeah, I mean, anything under about 7 or 8, you're going to be putting in a few thousand in repairs.
Yeah,
for sure.
You're going to pay for it. I mean, that's like one way or another, you're probably going to pay over 10 grand, whether it's the cost of the car. But yeah, I mean, to even think that like used cars that are in good condition are
few and far between.
Yeah, totally.
Few and far between.
Thanks for the call, Scott.
844-967-2789. Texter from the 262. Seems like in the near future, the average American is going to have to pick between reliable transportation or owning a home.
I mean, maybe. Like, it's
so expensive.
It's so expensive of how you do both. Or, like, like I said, you come back to a place where, like, you need a car. In most places, you need a car.
844-967-2789. Dave from Mequon. Good morning, Dave. We got about 2 minutes.
All right. Good morning. Well, my first car, I spent $6,000, and it worked very well. I was happy about it. I actually, fortunately, have a friend of mine who is in the used car business, and so I always am able to get a very nice used car. I never, other than one time in my life, I've never purchased new. I purchased generally used. And I actually bought a few cars during COVID when Hertz was doing the bankruptcy and up picking up a couple cars there. They were just giving them away with almost no miles because nobody was driving them. And so I got lucky in that sense. But I would recommend, this is what I would recommend. I mean, some people, you know, obviously dealers are going to always charge more than a private owner would.
Yeah.
And I always strongly recommend trying to find a private owner just because the price that they're going to be asking is automatically going to be lower.
Yep.
And you probably will have a little bit of negotiating power in addition to that. And as long as the car's title's clean and you can get a Carfax, which is easy enough.
That's great advice. You know, Dave, we got to go to a break, so I got to cut you off. Yeah. But thanks for always, as always, for your call. We're going to come back with more of your calls and texts. 844-967-2789. How much did your car cost? Your current car, your first car? Because right now, you can't buy a new car for less than $20,000. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Everything that you'd ever seen with Miranda Lambert on it, I have my finger on the pulse of what it is. AutoWind, I've seen every article of clothing. I've spent hours and hours sending inspirations. I've sent clothes that I love and fabrics, and I'm involved in every single garment that you see. It's important to me that it is an extension of my music, and it's an extension of who I am. I always want it to stay as honest as my music. AutoWind at Boot Barn.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio. You know what I got.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking about how much does your car cost you? Your current car, or maybe even your first car, although we have to adjust for inflation potentially, depending on if you're my age or Jane's age.
There's a big difference there.
And I'm asking this because I saw a headline this morning that there is only one new car left under $20,000, and it's a Mitsubishi Mirage. That the average selling price is around $9,200. $19,200. And you know, some of this is to do with the fact that America loves big ass cars.
and even bigger trucks.
And you're about to go to Europe and the land of tiny cars.
Yes.
And I always think about that the handful of times I've been lucky enough to go to Europe is just how little their cars are, which makes sense because there's so many other cities are more compact. And so being able to actually get into parking spaces and getting around and the streets are more narrow. But America has an obsession with supersized cars. And so the fact is, with that supply and demand, car makers have ditched affordable compact vehicles. And you add on top of that pandemic related supply chain snags, and you just have kind of created a situation where cars are really expensive.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Rick from Wisconsin Rapids. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. I appreciate the conversation that you're all having. I just wanted to weigh in on it.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the first car that I bought was a Plymouth Duster, and I paid $700, and the body was pretty far along in its decrease, but that car ran forever. It was a good engine.
Yep.
It was a good deal. The car I have now is a Chevy Cobalt. I paid $3,000. I was out of budget and I wanted to pay cash. I've had it for more than 2 years. It's a good runner. There's some other features that I'm not thrilled about. No air conditioning.
Oh boy.
And it would cost me a lot. But I'm very satisfied that for $3,000, and it's been running for more than 2 years.
All right.
Then I got a good deal. But can I mention one more thing with the conversation?
Sure.
Or not? Well, I just want to tell you about an experiment I did. We're talking about the cost and how can people afford to have a decent car and to have a place to live and all that. I did an experiment when my last car went out. It was a Saturn, and the transmission went out, and that was already near 200,000 miles, and I said, I'm not going to fix it. And instead of buying another car, I went on bicycle for 5 years from the time I was age 59 to 64, even in the winter.
Wow.
Wow. Winter in Wisconsin Rapids, and you were on a bicycle?
I was the nut that people looked at when it was 28, 25 below the wind chill and said, what is that guy doing?
I'm going to ask my parents. I'm going to say, did you see a guy ride a bike in Wisconsin Rapids? That was Rick.
And Rick, unfortunately, your line is not very good. You're kind of popping in and out a little bit. So thank you so very much for calling. Really, really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Price from Texas. Good morning, Price.
Hey, I know you got people waiting. I'll keep her under 60 seconds. But our hybrid was about 24. That was a 2017 that we got new, but it was like the last one. We got it like the year after. They're trying to get rid of it. Our SUV was an older one, 2011, so that was about 12. And we had payments on that for a long time. We finally got them paid off. But one thing, just tell everybody. They're going to be set. If you got a decent car, they're going to be sending you, hey, you want to trade in your car? Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because because used cars are so expensive now, they're just going to flip those cars and make money. It's better to keep that car right now.
Go ahead, Price.
Go ahead, Price. Right.
Oh, no, I just wanted to say this, but also with how expensive cars are and how expensive gas is and repairs and everything. It's a public policy failure for public transportation. Public transportation down here in Texas sucks. It's awful. Yeah. I miss Chicago and I miss Milwaukee, even with the buses. The buses were way better. And also, like, work from home, the concessions have to be made because if people can't afford, if people have the internet at home and they can work at home, they should be able to because it's so expensive to commute.
Yeah.
And that's about it, man. Public transportation would help out a lot, but... let's go. And that's it for me. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Price.
Thanks a lot,
Price. We appreciate it as always. Well, and that's the situation I found myself in. So my lease is up in November. And besides starting this job, so it's been a little over a year now that I've been mostly commuting to Waukesha, except some days doing the show from home. But for the most part, I'm here. And but prior to that, I mean, it was the pandemic. And so I wasn't really driving a lot at all. And even when I got the car originally in LA for the first, I mean, we only had it for about 6 months before the pandemic started. So there's only like 35,000 miles on it.
Oh, wow.
So Mike, I got to the dealership and they were pushing me hard.
I bet.
To trade it in, upgrade my lease to a newer car. And like they would, you know, all the kind of little dings and stuff that they would just take care of.
Sure, sure.
And I'm not a car person. So I'm like, okay, what? And I'm way too trusting. So I'm just going to like, okay, whatever. Like, sure, like I'll bring the... But of course, this is like the gendered part of my marriage. There's not a lot of it, but sometimes it comes up. And when it comes to like negotiating car stuff, definitely one of them. So Mike looked at everything. He goes, no, they're just trying to get you. They want your car.
Yes.
They want your car so they can flip it.
And make
a ton of money on it.
Exactly.
He's like, you've basically a new car. And I think we figured it out, like, my last, I'd owe like $11,000 or something on it as far as where the lease was and versus now. He's like, you're not trading it in. You're going to buy this car. And so it's like, okay,
all
I don't
right
care.
Then.
Like, this is fine. As long as I get new snow tires so the baby's safe, like, I'm fine, whatever. But that is exactly what Price said as far as, the pressure was hard.
For sure.
These sales guys, man.
One last text from the 262. I drive a Honda Insight. Think Toyota Prius size. My friends in England would call that their big car.
Yeah, see? All right. Well, when we come back, it is Tuesday at 10:30. So let's recombobulate with the one and only Dan Schaefer, because we have a debate coming up on Wednesday, and he has thoughts. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
It'd be great if life came with remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together, we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 60, winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 77, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Clear skies tomorrow night, lows around 45. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 69.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. A Wisconsin bookstore owner and cryptozoologist is asked to investigate a series of deaths that just might prove a fabled lake monster is real. With her rescue dog, Newt, by her side, Morgan goes on a hunt, but if she's not careful, she could be the next victim. That is the short description of the first installment of a new mystery series by USA Today bestselling author and our guest right now, Wisconsin author Beth Amos. How are you doing, Beth?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you on the show. So that is, as of, I just saw on your Facebook page, as of August 10th, death in Door County is became a death in Door County has become a USA Bet Today bestseller as of last week?
Correct. That
Congratulations.
Is correct.
Congratulations. That's so
Thank
exciting.
You.
Wow.
It is, yeah.
And so it was about a decade ago that the last time you made that list, right? So which book was that for?
It was for a book called, I'm trying to remember for sure which one. I think it was Lucky Stiff. It was one of the Maddie Winston books, and actually the publisher had put it on sale, and that prompted a bunch of sales, which managed to get it onto the list a little higher up on. No, I mean, a little lower, I guess, on the list than this one hit, and it was my first time hitting, so that was fun. But yeah, it's been 10 years or more, I think, since that happened. So this was exciting.
That's very exciting. So before we jump into the different series that you've done, the different pseudonyms you've written under. Just tell us a little bit more, because you're based in Wisconsin. Kind of your journey to becoming like a mystery novelist?
Well, I actually started out as a medical freelancer with my writing career. I was a nurse, and I always wanted to do writing, and I read a lot, and so I managed to segue some of my writing interests at the hospitals that I worked at into writing articles for their magazines and things like that, and that business grew. That was when I lived in Virginia, and then I ended up once I sold my very first book, which was actually a Dean Koontz type of book, not so much a mystery, but more of a thriller, a paranormal thriller, I decided to step away from nursing for a few years and focus on my writing, and made enough money off of my freelance work for probably about 6 years to stay away from nursing. But I kind of missed it and the camaraderie of working with those folks. And I had an idea for a new series that I wanted to do. And my first three books, all of which were Dean Koontz type paranormal thriller books with HarperCollins. Before the third book came out, HarperCollins did some shifting around in the whole publishing industry back then. This was in the late 90s, was kind of worried about what was happening with ebooks, and there was a lot of merging going on and selling going on, and a lot of authors were getting shifted around and dropped, and I was one of the people that got dropped from HarperCollins. So, and then about a year and a half later, my agent got frustrated and she decided to retire and leave the business. So my writing career kind of came to a screeching halt. And I had another project I was working on where I wanted to use the humor of the medical people that I've worked with over the years, because they're just some of the funniest people that I've ever encountered. You need to have a sense of humor to work in the medical field.
Yeah.
That it's kind of a dark sense of humor at times, but I wanted a way to utilize that in my writing. And I kept trying to make sort of a funny mystery series, and I had it set in Virginia because that's where I lived at the time when I started writing it, and it just wasn't working. And then I moved to Wisconsin, and as I got to know Wisconsin, I rewrote the book and put it in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's just quirky enough and strange enough and weird enough that it all worked. And funny enough. I mean, people in Wisconsin are funny, too. They have great senses of humor. And I had gone back to work in nursing, working in the emergency department, which is a great source for characters and plots and all kinds of things. So eventually I got that first book written. It took me a while to find another agent, had one and fired him in the process. So it was about 8 years, I think, in between my third book with Harper coming out and the first book with this new series coming out. And that was at with Kensington, which is a New York publisher, but a smaller family-owned publisher. And I had to come up with a new name to publish under because my own name, Beth Amos, was now dirt because my third book with HarperCollins hadn't sold very well because they dropped me before it came out. So they didn't do anything to market it or, you know, sell. I mean, they basically did nothing. So the sales were terrible and book buyers have very long memories apparently. So they wanted me to come up with a pseudonym to publish under, market me, newly discovered author. Plus, I was working in the ER at the time, and I really didn't. My character is a, you know, solving mysteries, and I didn't want my patients knowing that I spent my spare time thinking up fun ways to kill people. So it seemed like a pseudonym was a good idea. And I came up with Annalise Ryan because my son's name is Ryan and my middle name is Anne. And it was going to be initially just Anne Ryan, but they said that was too common. They wanted something a little more unique. So Annalise was my name in German class in high school. So I said, okay, Annalise Ryan. And they liked that. And Annalise Ryan was born. And she's doing much better in her career than Beth Amos is. So.
That is so, but then there's also Allison Abbott. Right.
Well, there is because, yes, about five books into my Annalise Ryan, Maddie Winston series, the nurse who goes to work for a coroner in a small town in Wisconsin, my editor there said, you know, I've always envisioned a series that takes place in a bar, kind of like a Cheers setting with, you know, characters that are recurring and they can solve mysteries. And he said, can you put something together like a proposal for me? And I said, sure. So I did. And he loved it. And then he said, you know, we love it and we're going to contract for a couple of books in this. And there's just one little catch. We need you to come up with a new name and a new pseudonym. And I was like, why? And he said, because Annalise Ryan and the Maddie Winston series was about five books in and they weren't sure yet if it was going to take off or if it was going to tank. And then they didn't want the Annalise Ryan series to affect the new series. And they didn't want the new series, if it tanked, to affect the Annalise Ryan series. And they wanted another newly discovered author that they could pitch out there. So this time I got a little more strategic with my pseudonyms. And I know that if you go in a bookstore and you walk up to the mystery section, all of the A's are on the top shelf at eye level. Very easy to find and grab. I know that because Beth Amos was up there with one little book and then V.C. Andrews had the whole rest of the shelf. But anyway, I was up there. And V.C. Andrews was dead at that point, but still writing. So I decided I was going to pick a last name that started with A. And so I came up with Abbott, A-B. That's pretty close to the front. And then I got a little sly about it and came up with a first name and a middle initial so that the initials for the whole thing were A.K.A., since it was another pseudonym.
Yeah.
And so
I like
that was my little inside joke. And my editor got it right away. The minute I sent him the email with the new name, he sent an email back 30 seconds later and said, nice little trick. I love it. And so that's how Allison K. Abbott became born. And that series was a six-book series, kind of planned that way, and then ended. So Allison K. Abbott's not writing anything anymore at this point. But Annalise Ryan went on to write 12 books in the Maddie Winston series, plus a two spinoff books from that series. And then Kensington decided that they weren't going to do any more of those books. And I was once again back at square one trying to relaunch my career. So I spent the year of COVID writing a book that I thought my agent was really going to love, something different. I thought this is a chance to exercise my writing muscles and use some of the plots that I've been storing away. And so I wrote this book that I thought my agent was just going to love, and he absolutely hated it. And so I ended up shelving it. And it took place in Door County, and I had done a lot of research in Door County because I vacation up there a lot. And I decided when we were talking on the phone and deciding not to do anything with the book he hated, we started brainstorming and we came up with the idea. He said, well, you know, what kind of things do you like? You know, and I said, well, I like books and I like the X-Files and I like, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's how we kind of came about the idea of A Death in Door County. And so Wisconsin, as it turns out, has plenty of cryptids that we can play with and move around the state with. So Yeah, that's how the series got started.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Beth Amos, a.k.a. Annalise Ryan, a.k.a. Allison Abbott, who is a Wisconsin author. And so that is what I actually think is fascinating, because the story is, the cryptozoologist and bookstore. It's also funny because I feel like ER nurse and author. Like you said, when you got to Wisconsin, like, what is it about Wisconsin, like, that was so different from Virginia that it itself is a character in itself that is ripe to write about?
Well, when I lived in Virginia, I lived in a bigger city. I lived in Richmond. The culture there is very much still the North versus the South. There's okay. people there that still think we're fat and the woe of Northern aggression. And it just has a different feel to it. And when I moved to Wisconsin, I moved into a very small town, like so many in Wisconsin. Full of small towns. And there's a lot of rural farmland around. And there were things, that, in the newspaper, like you'd read the police blotter, and it would be, somebody getting ticketed for parking their tractor at the local bar, or, a cow running loose down Main Street, or, the number of bars there are in town is compared to the number of churches. And it's just the whole cheesehead thing, and unfortunately some of the alcohol culture. It's very quirky and different, and it's friendly, super friendly. People are very friendly here. And that was very different from where I came from in Virginia. But I had lived in other small towns, and I think it was as much the small town setting as the Wisconsin setting.
And so with the book, so A Death in Door County, and then how does that go? And like, how is that inspired then the next book that's coming out in December?
Well, the next book is actually taking place in Bayfield, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Up around Lake Superior in the Apostle Islands.
I love Bayfield.
The Shawamigan Forest. Yeah, it's beautiful up there. And there's a lot of Bigfoot traditions and lore up there. And so Bigfoot will be the second cryptid that we're going to explore. And I've already contracted and working on book three, which will... be taking place in Rhinelander. Can you guess what that cryptid's going to be?
Is it maybe going to be the Hodag?
Yeah, it's going to be a Hodag. So, yeah.
So wait, what's
you would do well in my cryptid trivia.
So what is the cryptid in Lake Michigan?
I guess you'd have to read the book.
Read the book. That's fair. But Bigfoot, Hodag, but the mystery.
It's based on... I don't know if you can see this.
I can see the
Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
Yes. So
I did not know that about Lake Michigan.
There are cryptids in all of the Great Lakes. There are myths and rumors and stories. They have different names here and there, but there's all kinds of cryptid stories in the Great Lakes. And given their geographical structure, it's certainly possible that something is existing down there in the depths. And we just haven't seen it yet or haven't identified it yet.
That is awesome. So you're enjoying writing for Morgan. Morgan Carter is the main hero in this series. That's a little different than Maddie was in your last series, but it seems like she has many adventures ahead of her.
She indeed does. Yes. Her and her dog, Newt. She doesn't go anywhere without Newt. So, yeah.
Great dog, Dave. All right. Well, we have to let you go because we're running up against a break. But Beth, this was so fascinating. I have so many more questions about the pseudonym thing, but I'll have to ask you offline because that is like, I didn't know that existed. They're like, no, we need you to be a new person so we can sell this book. Thanks. And so
yeah, it does make marketing a challenge.
Absolutely. So A Death in Door County is available now. Death in the Dark Woods will be available in December. Beth Amos, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. All right, we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and it is going to be hot this week, where you are.
Dangerously hot.
Much of Wisconsin is going to have a heat index above 100 this week, and specifically for tomorrow and Thursday, likely the hottest days of the year they're expecting.
Oh, yeah.
So be careful.
I mean, we're talking about 111... 113. That's not the actual temperature, but that's what the heat index is going to feel like with the humidity and everything. So these are crazy, crazy temperatures. First and foremost, if you work outside, and I'm sure you already know this, but you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Mailmen, roofers. I just think of all the people who landscapers.
Yeah. Post the mail. Yeah. Like you just said mailmen, but like FedEx worker, like it's
exactly.
so many people that like when you can't actually just, but also I saw something yesterday. I think Todd Elbow talked about this on his show yesterday. There's certain, because of the landlord laws, there's still like there's landlords who can forbid you from having an air conditioning unit.
Oh man.
And so there's certain people who just don't, you know, we say like we're lucky enough to work in an air conditioned building, live in an air conditioning home, but there's a lot of people who still don't have air conditioning and like just have to rely on fans. Or maybe tomorrow's a good day to go see Barbie if you haven't seen it.
Go
yet.
See Barbie, go to a library.
Yeah.
Go take a long grocery shopping trip.
Yeah.
You know, just to get out of the heat. And it's the same warnings, but I think there's value in repeating them. Don't take your dog with you tomorrow.
Don't leave your dog in the car.
Don't leave your dog in the car. Honestly, they can suffocate in minutes when it's this hot. Same with children and the elderly.
Yeah.
So if you have an elderly neighbor or an elderly relative and you know they don't have air conditioning, you need to check on them to make sure that they're going to be okay.
Well, and I just feel so lucky because I had a friend who asked me who lives in, they just moved from Houston to Rio de Janeiro, but that's a big jump. But she was saying, obviously, because they're on the other side of the equator, getting used to, you know, what is winter for them right now is still not really winter, but she's used to the humidity because they lived in Houston for the last, whatever, 10 years.
And Houston's built on a big swamp.
Mm-hmm. And, but she asked, she's like, how's Wisconsin been with the heat? Like, have you guys had the same heat as Texas? And I was like, absolutely not. And, you know, I do feel fortunate that we have like 2 days of this versus so much of the South that is, this has been their whole summer.
Can you imagine
week just day after day over like 110 degrees
and week after week after week? And I think it might have been a day that you were gone, Kristen, but in Arizona, the ERs were getting overwhelmed with people burning themselves.
Oh, you told me. Yeah, we talked about this. Yeah. They fell on the sidewalk.
Right. It's just crazy.
And, you know, not to, I don't want to end necessarily on a
downer,
but it is. It's like if you track this summer and, you know, this over the weekend, it was the tropical storm Hillary with the hurricane that hit Southern California. We're dealing with the Maui wildfires. And we've had like these heat domes like across the country. But just a reminder that hurricane season basically starts now. So we're not even through what will be inevitably probably more natural disasters that are coming for the fall.
Yeah.
So
it's all related, folks.
Speaking of which, have you seen how hot it is in Europe where you're going to be going as of Thursday? Have we talked about that?
Not really. London looks a little chilly, upper 60s, lower 70s. It can really vary when you're in London because they've had some heat as well and a little rain. So, but again, that's London. It's an island.
It is an island.
It is an island.
Let's talk more. Let's actually end on a happier note. Let's talk about your trip because this is the last day I'm going to see you until September 12th.
Yes.
Which is the longest time you and I have gone without seeing each other.
In over a year.
Maybe even more than that, because before we were at the same place and I saw you daily.
At least, right.
For like a year and a half.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, what am I going to do?
You will have Greg Bach.
I will have Greg
you
Bach.
Will have
tell
Greg
people
Bach.
About your fun vacation that you're finally taking.
Yeah, we are going to London for about 3 days, and then we're going to go to Dubrovnik in Croatia.
Ooh.
Where they filmed some parts of Game of Thrones. So it's a very, very ancient city. It's one of those old walled-in cities. We like old rocks, my husband and I.
Okay.
We like climbing on old rocks and looking at old rocks and talking about the history of the rocks. And I've talked to several people who have been to Dubrovnik, and they have all said that 3 days is about enough.
Okay.
And then we are going to the Algarve area of Portugal, which is like the southern coastline of Portugal, for about 9. So we try to do our educational portion of the trip, because when we're in London, we'll probably go to the National Portrait Gallery.
Okay.
I haven't been back there for many, many years. And we like to hit some museums and do some cultural things and try and learn some things. And then for the second half, we're beach slugs.
That's nice. That's really nice.
Yeah.
But this is your first time leaving the country since COVID, right?
Since 2019. That was our last vacation was in 2019.
So that's got to be pretty exciting. Are you nervous at all after, are you feel out of practice?
Well, I can remember back in the day when flying was actually fun. And flying hasn't been fun for a long time. Now it's just a pain in the neck.
What do you mean by fun?
There wasn't so much waiting. You didn't have to be there 3 hours ahead of time. You didn't have to wait in, although we have TSA pre-check and all that stuff, so we can get through some of the lines a little bit faster.
Well, and also I'm assuming he's not a U.S. citizen, that he's still a...
He's a great citizen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you guys can skip through those lines once you're entering Europe.
Into England, yep. And there's always the chance that one of my fellow passengers is going to lose their you-know-what, and I'm going to have to duct tape them to their seat.
Well, have you not been on a plane since 2020 at all?
No.
So you haven't really, you've only seen stories of how nuts people are. I would say in the handful of flights I've taken since 2020, there's only been one time that someone was
nuts.
So you don't assume that that's going to happen. It's one of those things where the reporting of it is maybe not proportionate to like how the percentage of it is actually still quite small.
Well, okay, I'll take that. I still think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen on our flight right next to me.
It might.
I'll have duct tape. I'll be good.
There you go. Yeah, just make sure it's in your carry-on.
It's all good.
All right. Well, tomorrow we will be on site. Well, Jane will be in the studio. I will be on site with Greg Bach at Whitetail, broadcasting live from downtown Milwaukee, doing a lot of debate stuff. Excited to hear your thoughts on what you want to hear. What moves the needle for you? Are you going to watch it all? But we will do that tomorrow. Make sure you tune in. We've got a lot of fun coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a big day. So thank you for our guests today. Thank you to everyone who made it such a great show.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.